30 Seconds of Fame repeatedly on ESPN. Basketball, college at its best, or not best, but their team can make a shot, and these guys on the bench can put on a show. Great shot. Guy's heart quits beating. He and his buddies hold each other up, bring out the air paddles, and they defrib the guy. He wakes up. He's like, what a beautiful shot. These are the guys on the bench. Not the ones who are out there actually making baskets and doing anything. We see a wide array of college, pro, basketball athletes honoring themselves, and they're impressive with their victory dances representing mastery. And back in the day, we all just wanted to be like Mike. Tongue wagging, clutch plays, occasional shrug. Today, you have this. Have you seen? Nom, nom, nom. Spoon to mouth. We're eating you up. We're so good. Or the three-point dagger and the 3D glasses or whatever they do. And the old school, never outdated glory walk of Jesus is silence in his victory dance. As he places one foot in front of the other, flipping a table or two or a heart or two, fingers to his lips. He encourages any who is able to bring alongside him on his celebration tour towards the cross, be healed, your faith has made you well. Tell nobody. Matthew 12:15, he orders them not to spread the word about himself and notes he is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. I won't argue, shout, my voice won't be heard. And in chapter 8:4, the man with the skin disease and many other examples, don't say anything to anyone. They don't listen. Just go right into the heart of the church and show you the priest yourself and offer the gift of Moses' commandment. Learn from me and be quiet about it. Learn from me and do likewise. Live faithfully into our faithful Father's high calling that shatters all human wisdom and formulas, quick fixes, bold arrogance. Claiming we have any kind of ready-made solutions to the adventure of life and faith together, which he calls us into and, in fact, he demands of each of us. In Matthew 6, Jesus checks us into his game to start sweating as part of life instead of with our warm-up jerseys on or sitting with nachos in the stands or a TV remote in our hand. He passes his silent and true way into us. We learn the no-look. The left doesn't know what the right hand does. Prepare and pray in private in the closet. Do the hard work behind the scenes so you can be in the zone. Know your role in this faith offensive system. Deuteronomy 11:18-19. The only way to learn from me is full immersion in our system. By placing these words and commands in your very core, in your heart, in your guts, tie them to your hands. Soak them into your forehead, deep into your mind, so it becomes automatic. Understand the system. Teach it to your children. Talk about it when you're awake. Dream about it when you're asleep. So you can serve, shoot, pass, score, defend, steal, without any trumpeted fanfare. When fasting, sacrifice, training, or taking one for the team, don't show your suffering and pain or pride. This is just how we do faith business as usual. It's how we play the game. And some of these truths, many of them, they just stay in the locker room. Most can and will not understand truth. Faithfulness is not simple. In fact, it's extremely complex. And yet it's simply between you and your Father in heaven. Like a game of catch between Father and Son. And it's that hard, easy yoke that we learn to put on and be comforted in and by. Wisdom is proved to be right by your Son works. And we want to be in this game, don't we? To be playing? We want to be like Mike, like Christ. It is our heart's one true desire. Put me in, coach, to play today. Isaiah 7, confusing, beautiful thought. as we comfortably coat our palate with truth, theology, Jesus fully God and man, Isaiah 7:15, after virgin birth, we call him Emmanuel. Prophecy says Jesus grows up, eats the food of his land, butter, honey, like all the other Jesus and Joes. Verse 15 says Jesus will learn to reject evil and choose good. God in the flesh, as child and man, Isaiah says, Jesus learned to reject evil and choose good. His mission is not instant and easy. He learns what is true. We have to learn what appears to be true, what's false, what's most dangerous. We need immersion to be completely slave to, and submerged and drowned in the words of Jesus, to emerge and breathe true life breaths. Jesus speaks with authority that scribes and legal experts don't have. He discredits the devil himself at every private and public confrontation. Start training, keep training, so we too can pay homage at every turn. Matthew chapter 11, 12, the kingdom of heaven is violently attacked as violent people seize it. It says in Matthew 10, 24, Jesus says that the world and church say, I'm the devil. No, you too will be hated for your glimpses of living in my Father's truths. You'll be taunted, booed, ridiculed at each turn and test and trial. Be above reproach and no one will question you. John the Baptist, 11 verse 11, the greatest man born of a woman, yet the least in the kingdom is better than him. He's Elijah. And Jesus, we see they are blasted. These are pillars of faith, and they're blasted. Well, the only truth, right? Jesus blasted for being faithful. From the one of restraint, John, to the one of abundance, Jesus, you have the whole spectrum. You're going to be called out. They were called crazy and gluttons, drunk. You're the devil. You can have a John look or a Jesus look of abundance as long as you're faithful. So these names called out are in an effort to discredit any and all glimpses that we see and give of true obedience. So we and they don't have to own our discomfort that screams our hypocrisies in our own mirrors. They were unwilling to be shattered and changed at the core. Are we? Isaiah 8 says, prepared to be shattered, and let the shattering be by God's hand and yoke, not your resistance to it. The Lord spoke, taking hold of Isaiah and warning him not to walk in the way of the people. Isaiah 6:10, God says to Isaac, make the minds of the people dull, make their ears deaf and their eyes blind so they can't hear or see and they can't turn and be healed. Isaiah says, okay, but for how long? Until city and house and land are devastated and abandoned. And if a tenth remain, it too will be burned and raised to the ground to a stump of holy seed in Jesus. And this has to happen in each of our city hearts as well. There is no shortcutting. Let the pruning and raising begin within. The fake, faithful legal experts and Pharisees dared ask for signs in Matthew 11 and 12. Well, the faithful ask for signs. They dare too throughout the Bible. All generations are judged by man and by our own selves. 1 Corinthians, Paul says, chapter 4, who cares? Matthew 12, 36 gives us an encouraging warning that we'll have to answer for each useless word we utter. That's the judgment the Father promises. And it's the judgment that matters. And we'll be humbled and we'll honor that. Jesus says to his Father, chapter 12, 25, I praise you because you have hidden these things from wise and intelligent. And it makes you happy, Father. We as man readily join in to casting stones like those in Jesus' time. Verses 21 and 24, Tyre, Sidon, Sodom, Gomorrah, they burned themselves, their sins. They were turned over to their own devices. They were burned by their allegiance to disobedience. And so those generations in Jesus' lifetime miracles, Jesus himself reprimands them in their time. Those faithless, perverse, hopeless cities you want to knock would be better at faithfulness than you looking right at me as your Jesus. They'd have more hope than you do right now, my friends. Do you really want to compare scorecards? And so now, what does he expect of us post-Jesus earthly lifers? Are we the great sinners against the Holy Spirit referenced in chapter 12, 32? Our generation since resurrection and Luther's putting Bible in common language, we who have the gift of the recordings of our Jesus that cannot be denied and defied, we can study them daily for deeper truths so that we don't get a Bethsaida and Capernaum tongue lashing. Let's maybe take that tongue lashing directed toward them as relevant to you and me today. Is this yet another Holy Spirit subtle call for us to commit all heart, soul, mind, and guts? Let us not say, Lord, like they did in Matthew 11, 17, we played the flute, we sang, but you didn't join us, God. From Jesus' lips in the Gospel of Matthew, we hear a second calling this month. I want mercy and not sacrifice. And Matthew 12 references Jonah, so Jonah chimes in from the belly of the fish, from his guts. To this thought, I want mercy and not sacrifice, as he has a consequence of choosing to be consumed with disobedience to God's command on his life. Jonah begs for the attention. Those deceived by worthless things lose their chance for mercy. Trust me, I'm living proof if you call this living. God is faithful to the faithful and the unfaithful alike. And in chapter 4, we see that God saw that Nineveh ceased their evil behaviors, and God stopped his plan to allow them to destroy themselves. He showed mercy at the 11th hour of Nineveh's generation at the brink of their judgment. They deserved this punishment, and yet they turned their attention from worthless things on account of one person turning his face after he wrecked his life toward the Father's faithfulness. At the drop of true sackcloth mourning hearts willing to change, waves of repentance and submission and new learning and living can ripple out. We too sail the seas of chaos. We dive into seductive lies of our lives. We're consumed by and honestly drowning in them. And it's time to come clean again and come up for true life and breath daily. For the love of God and for the sake of his creation and his created. The God of 24/7 created creation. Let's us little Napoleon syndrome Adam and Eve's create the names for his creation so we can start swaggering and sauntering around, chests out, clucking about the latest this or that, all this useless knowledge and our opinions of it. And he sits patiently, looking for a glimpse of a humble and sincere soul that's truly broken and open, like Jonah, in generations now, who will again call out to the Lord of all. One soul willing to sit and listen and see glimpses of his truth below all this flash and dance and distraction drills. In our comfort and confident times and lifestyles of mixed theology and mixed agendas and mixed drinks, it's quite a powerful cocktail and sedative that we've dished up. You and I barely have time and space to begin to have true eyes and ears that hear in our heart. Let's make time and space for him. Man, in our lives of ease and overconfidence, we quickly deflect and discredit any and all contenders when someone audaciously claims the truth that he is Lord over all, over each and every cranny of individual and collective souls. My German heritage, great-grandparents, a line that got rung out to me as well. Learning English, don't get too smart. Don't you get too smart. The wisdom of man. We, again, arrogantly label ourselves Homo sapiens, which means wise men. We are wise guys. We give ourselves, once again, a self-proclaimed title that we occasionally live into in our calmer days. Dr. Kerr, who has run the Bowen Institute, had a closing slide this week with the Homo sapien with a line through it saying, we sincerely need to reclassify ourselves more accurately and honestly as Homo disrationalis. We're often less impressive than the creation that doesn't have the advantage of a reasoning mind. Isaiah 8 corrects the easing of our conscience taught so well and seductively by man about, well, fear God just means you honor him, you love him. Yes and no. You and I best be fearing the God of all creation. His will always prevails through all of our unfaithfulness or fake faithfulness. And indeed, with our help, when we stumble in faithfulness, God is glorified. The Bible says with layers of clarity, Isaiah 8, 12, and 13, don't fear what they fear. Don't listen to conspiracy claims. It is the Lord of heavenly forces who we should hold sacred. Yes, fear, and whom we should awe. And it takes a 24/7 commitment from us, folks. The mission cannot be compromised. If it isn't our heart's deepest desire and commitment, that's okay. Let's just quit fooling ourselves. Let's quit cheering and jeering from the sidelines. And for God's sake, let's start playing the game with God the right way. Give the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit the respect that he deserves.